All right. Well, good morning, everybody. What a blessing it is to be here at Mansfield. We're happy to have Dot back with us this morning. That's really a pleasure to get to see her. So as you guys that have been here for the last couple of weeks know that we're walking through the Beatitudes. We're in the series that I'm calling the Blessed, and we're looking at the blessings Jesus offers for those who wholeheartedly follow him. This section of text that we're working through is known as the Sermon on the Mount, but we're calling our coverage of it the Blessed. The main goal of this series as we walk through it is to see the teachings of Christ as authoritative in our lives. And by seeing this, I believe it will have a lasting effect on our lives. So last week, we talked about the blessings for those who are poor in spirit, if you can remember. And the big idea, the big thought of that sermon was that when we come to the Lord every day and we're spiritually empty, that's when we are blessed, and that's where we should strive to be every day, because the blessing is that the Lord will continue to help us fill our cups daily. And this week we'll be continuing this series and looking at the next transformational statement made by Jesus in this sermon as he goes along. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew 5. We're going to be looking at verse 4 today. It reads, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now this is admittedly a tough thing to preach on, but I want to ask you a question. Is there really a blessing that can be found in mourning? Take some time to think about this. Really think about it, because this is the question we're going to be attacking or trying to answer in our time together today. As you're taking some time to think about this, I just want to offer up a word of prayer over our time together this morning. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity that I have to come and share your word today. I thank you for the people that are here. Give us open hearts to receive what you have to say to us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Allow us to take what we learned today and to use it to grow closer to you and to further your kingdom. It's in your name I pray. So my first thought, and I'm going to give you two today, is that it's okay to mourn. I, in fact, don't know if many of you have lost someone close to you, and I'm sure you have. Now, most of you that have been around and watched me are been in with me in the last couple of years know that my grandfather passed away about a year ago, and so this makes this message on mourning a little difficult to share with you. But I think I get this thought that it's okay to mourn because we see mourning all throughout Scripture. First, I think of 2 Samuel 12 and David mourning over the coming death of his son. Now, this is a little interesting because this son was between David and Bathsheba. It was David cheating with Bathsheba, so it wasn't necessarily a good child. But we see David spending time just in this idea of mourning. He's upset, and then he gets the word that his son has passed. We see this image of the disciples mourning over the fact that Jesus is going to the cross and saying, but Master, we want to go with you. Know that mourning is a common reaction in times of death. We get some feelings that go along with this idea of mourning. Maybe it's fear, anger, depression, anxiety. These are all things, normal feelings that we have in such a time of mourning. In fact, I was thinking about this as I was writing the sermon this week. As many of you know, I was interning in Colorado, and we were walking through this same series of the church that I was preaching at, and I had the communion meditation the morning that we did this, that the pastor preached this sermon. And that morning, in fact, as I was preparing to do the communion meditation, I got a text from my family that said my uncle had just passed away. He literally passed away, and here I am about to give a communion meditation on mourning. And so that was really hard, but I think it brings us to this thought that mourning is completely normal. So I want to offer you kind of two thoughts about mourning that will help you as you think about this. The first one is, mourning should be temporary. Now, it's important to note, hear me, church, when I say this, you are the one who sets the time limit. It's not the people around you, but it should be temporary. This is because we serve a God that is bigger than death. I think about the cross, the transcendence of God, and that gives me hope. And the second reason I think mourning should be temporary is because we know that when death comes, we will be headed to join our Father in heaven. This is exciting because of the love He has for His creation. We think about Genesis 1 as God's creating, beginning to create. And what does He say after He finishes His creation? It is good. And I think the blessing, there's a blessing of mourning itself, in that it is temporary. This idea of mourning being temporary is temporary, just like death. See, Christ offers, He says at the end of this passage that, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will receive peace." When we begin to see this image of Christ, we begin to receive the peace He talked about in this passage. But hear me, this only comes with community. Brothers and sisters in Christ that join together, reach out to others in their time of mourning to encourage one another, to help them along. We can't do this alone. That's where we will begin to fall away and not receive the peace that we have. I illustrate this commonly this way. In fact, I'm sure many of you have heard this illustration, but I think about the Old West and the wagon wheels, and I watched a lot of Westerns growing up with my grandparents, and so when you have a wagon wheel with the spokes, if one of those spokes breaks away, the wheel begins to fail. And then the wheel doesn't continue to go anymore. And it's just like us as the body. When one of us begins to not be a part of the community, the wheel begins to slow down. It begins to not work the same way. So I encourage all of you, if you know someone that's in this stage of mourning, do something to help be a part of that process of healing. And see, I think with the encouragement comes healing. See, we are a family serving one common goal, to love each other in a way that reflects the way God loves us. I just think about I don't know if we can really fill those shoes. God sent his son to die for us because he loved us so much. And that's really the main theme of Christianity. I think about some of my friends that have died overseas and that they were making a demonstration, essentially, of the same love that God gave for us. And I think once we understand this thought, we can begin to see the peace that is promised at the end of this passage. When we understand that we need to encourage each other to create this family, this community that God's desired, we will begin to see the peace that is promised at the end of the passage. I heard this video, or I saw this video in a class, and I don't have the actual video, but I just kind of wanted to tell a bit of the story to kind of illustrate this idea. So there's some pottery in Japan, and they like to make pottery clay pots just like a lot of the other world. But one thing that's unique about the pottery in Japan is when it breaks, they don't throw it away. See, we as Americans, when something's broken, we just throw it away and start new. But what they do in Japan is they'll begin to take the pieces and try to put it back together. Now, they don't do this with glue or something silly or just screws or whatnot. What they actually do is take precious metals and use that to put the pots back together. So they use things like gold and silver and titanium and bronze, and they use this to put these pots back together. In fact, it's interesting to me is that once these pots are put back together, they're actually more valuable than before they were broken. So as we put our lives back together in the time of mourning, remember that with Christ's love and community, we are actually more valuable than before we were broken. When we live in community, in relationship with Christ and others, we are actually more valuable than when we lived in the world. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Maybe it's some mourning right now. Or maybe it's something that you dealt with for a long time. Maybe it's a recent death in your family. Maybe it's something that's been at the forefront of your heart and your mind for years, and you just haven't taken the time to let Christ help you and let the community help you deal with it. But my plea this morning is that you give it to the Lord so that you may receive the peace that were promised, that you may receive the peace that allows you to be in mourning no more, the peace that will allow you to be in joy because you know the Lord is with you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity I had to share the word, share your word with these people this morning. I just ask that you help us to realize that when we're in community, we can begin to receive the peace that you've promised to us. Help us through this idea of peace as we struggle with whatever it may be, and help us to ultimately just see you as the way to heal the things that we mourn. Thank you for this day. I thank you for the week that we've had, and I ask that you bless the week we have ahead. It's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen.